This is Wavelength, a Ted Lasso fic written by Rockin' Hamburger and read by KLB. The walls are paper thin, is the problem. Unfortunately, it's a problem Ted notices properly for the first time when there is not a gosh darn thing he can do about it because Beards brought a lady friend home. And they're not loud or anything. It's just those walls. Ted blushes right down to his roots because he can hear them. Her, mostly. He can hear her gasps and the occasional moan. He can hear the squeak of the bed springs and a low, deep sound that's gotta be Beard. Truth is, for such a quiet guy, Beard has some serious game. Ted's lost count of the number of times he's seen Beard pick up someone with no more than a couple sentences. It's impressive. However, it's one thing to know that Beard has a healthy sex life. It's another to be witnessing that reality now that they're roomies. He doesn't begrudge Beard having fun. Ted's curious, of course, but that's something he'll be doing with someone special, which, by all measures, still seems to be a ways off. But Beard's different, and that's perfectly fine by Ted. The prospect of having sex one day, when he'll have no idea what he's doing, it's more than a little daunting. What if he's bad at it? Correction, he's definitely gonna be bad at it. It doesn't sound like Beard's bad at it. There's a sharp increase in volume and enthusiasm, and Ted hears her gasp, "Right there!" Without explicit permission, Ted's mind starts to wander, imagining all manner of visuals to match. He can't help wondering what Beard's doing that's making her feel so good. Sure, Ted's fooled around a bit, but nothing that would qualify as getting too carried away. He knows in theory what Beard might be doing for her, but... oh, heck, he shouldn't even be listening to this. Ted shoves a pillow over his ears, guilt-ridden at eavesdropping, and, rapidly, getting worked up himself. He keeps the pillow carefully in place and starts ranking breakfast foods. A perfectly cooked omelet? The number one spot, obviously. Ooh, but a great waffle? Maybe that's number one, actually. It mostly succeeds as distraction, but they're at it for a while, muffled from the pillow, yet still a little audible. He only hears Beard one other time. A quiet but carrying, "Can you go again?" He lays awake long after they appear to have finished up, embarrassed by his body that very much wants to get something going here. But that's not happening, not when it feels like a serious invasion of privacy. Eventually, his guilt is interrupted by sleep. Ted isn't great at keeping secrets, but he successfully avoids mentioning the thin walls for most of the walk to campus by not talking at all. This is evidently a bad strategy, because Beard interrupts Ted's spinning thoughts with, "You're quiet. What's up?" Eyes trained on the path in front of them, Ted speaks quickly as nerves start to take root. "Oh, nothing. All's well, Liberty Bell. Thinking real hard about the reading I didn't do for class. How does anyone keep up with it, huh? I need some tricks of the trade." Beard says, "Speed reading." Then, "Nervous?" Caught out, Ted splutters, "Why would I be?" When he looks over, Beard is giving him a look that Ted knows from experience means, "You tell me." Ted nods, rapidly. "Sure, might as well." He chuckles. "No easy way to say this, 'cause it's real awkward, so I'll just say it. Not gonna drag it out. No siree. Ted clears his throat. I heard you last night. With, well, I don't know her name. Didn't catch it. And I wasn't trying to listen, I swear. Put a pillow over my head and everything. Ted peeks over, and Beard looks pretty darn embarrassed. So he hastily adds, Hey, it ain't no thing. What you do in the privacy of your bedroom is none of my business. And boy, it sounded like y'all had a nice time. And that's great. Great and good. But, well, those walls are thinner than a vinyl record, if you catch my drift. Ted presses his lips together before any additional ridiculous words can scamper their way out of him. Beard clears his throat. Shit, he says with an awkward chuckle. Sorry about that. I'll keep it down next time. If it's ever too loud, feel free to bang on the wall. Oh, I'd never... Don't change it up on my account, Ted babbles. Don't worry about it. I just thought you should know. Mercifully, they have reached campus. So Ted calls, See you later now, as he marches hurriedly off to his class. When they meet up later for lunch, they don't talk about it, which suits Ted just fine. No reason to continue talking about it. But his thoughts are another matter. It's tough to focus on his classes when he keeps hearing the ghostly reminder of rapid gasps and a low, deep moan. He calls his mother when he gets back home. The phone rings exactly once before she picks up. She sounds like she always does when she answers, like there might be bad news on the other end. Hey, Mom, he greets brightly. Got a good one for you. What's the best thing about Switzerland? I don't know, but the flag is a big plus. His mother makes a pfft sound. Some of the tension he's been carrying sloughs off his shoulders. That is a good one, she agrees. Soon you'll have enough of these to paper a globe. That's the plan, Ted says. From his seat at the kitchen table, he sets about uncoiling the tangled telephone wire. It's one of those long ones, so a person can talk and cook at the same time. How was work? Was there a single crumb left over from the muffins you baked? Not a one, she says with delight. Store-bought ain't got muffin on me. Ted laughs. Mind teleporting a few my way? Sure thing, Shoestring. You just gotta invent it, huh? Are you working on that in any of your classes? What field of science would that be? Heck if I know, Ted replies. I'll ask Beard. He'll have the answer. Oh, how's he doing? Ted briefly horrifies himself by imagining a response like, He's doing great, judging by the sounds I've heard coming from his room. Seems to be doing just fine, he says with a chuckle. How's Nana? Gosh, she's a tour de force with that bum hip. I know better than to tell her what to do, but I'm getting tired of watching her hobble around when she could just get a surgery scheduled. Ted listens to her chatter while he cooks a stir-fry, making enough for Beard to have some whenever he gets home. Beard doesn't keep to a predictable schedule, but on Thursday evenings he's often back in time to eat while the food's still hot. Ted realized pretty quickly into their roommate partnership that Beard has a tendency to skip meals when he gets sucked into work for his classes. When Beard does remember to eat, he usually just zaps a pizza pocket in the microwave and then eats it over the kitchen sink. It took a week for Beard to accept the offer of food. Ted had to stop being subtle about his attempts to feed Beard. Oh, I made too much. Help yourself. And be more direct about it. I'm already making food for myself. I'm happy to make enough for you to eat, too. It took about a month for Beard to stop looking surprised that there was always enough for him. When Ted gets off the phone with his mom, he cleans up the mess he made cooking and brings his plate to the table. The door opens, then, signaling Beard's arrival. After a minute of rustling around in his room, he enters the kitchen and gives Ted a relaxed nod in greeting. He sits down with his own plate, takes a bite, and nods again, this time with approval. "High praise," Ted says, breaking the silence. He used to do his whole chatterbox routine from the moment Beard entered the room, but he's trying to find an appreciation for a bit of silent companionship. Beard's a man of few words, so when he does talk, Ted has noticed it's because he has something valuable to contribute. "Was talking to my mom earlier, and we got to speaking about teleportation," Ted says as he remembers. "I figure you'll know. What field of study would that be?" Beard answers promptly, "Quantum physics." "Ah," Ted nods, "that's beyond my capabilities. Maybe something to table for future invention. Then we could chow down on some of my mom's blueberry nutmeg muffins." "I'll get right on it," Beard says, eyes comically wide. Ted grins and eats a few more bites, trying not to itch out of his skin at the ensuing silence. Not his favorite sound. Silence means someone needs to apologize. Either that, or something terrible has happened. "Although," Beard adds, "the philosophical question at the heart of teleportation is whether it's really you on the other end, if what's transported is a copy of the quantum information of your particles. You know, does your soul go with you, if you believe in that kind of thing?" "Wow." Ted has to stop eating to give that concept its due. "That's a heck of a complicated thing." Beard nods in emphatic agreement. "I do believe in that kind of thing," Ted admits, nearly ready to return to his food. "Do you?" Beard stares off in obvious consideration, and this time the silence ain't so bad. It's kind of nice, actually. Ted takes a bite of bell pepper, savors the burst of flavor. Beard speaks. "Quantum science says there are infinite possibilities, and theory has it, everything that exists in the visible world has first existed as a state in the cosmic field of potentiality." Beard meets his eye, the suggestion of a mystical smile poking through. "So why not?" Ted stares in awe. "Beard, that's quite the brain you got there." Beard smiles softly and tips his baseball cap to Ted in thanks. He goes back to eating, his plate cleaned of the last bite, when he raises his brows in amusement. "Of course, with teleportation, there's also the possibility of photon collapse. Risky business." Ted raises his brows in alarm, then quips, "Now I want to don a dress shirt and a pair of socks and slide along the linoleum." "Don't we all?" Beard quips back. Beard does the dishes, and then they sit down on the couch with a beer each. There's a whole lot of nothing on the TV, so eventually Ted finds his mind returning to last night, to the sounds from Beard's room. He is so curious, he asks the question he's been trying not to think about all day, quickly, before he can lose his nerve. "Hey, what's it like?" In his peripheral vision, he sees Beard turn his head. Despite the lack of a helpful segue, it doesn't take very long for Beard to figure out what he's referring to. "Sex?" Ted flushes, nodding. "Yeah, I haven't. Before." He cringes. "Sorry to ask. Never mind. I know it's probably weird." "Doesn't have to be," Beard says. "Sex is taboo, so it can be a little awkward to talk about, but that's just societal stuff. And Weird, subjective, anyway. Dang, Ted says appreciatively. You make a lot of sense, my friend. Beard nods in acknowledgement. So, you want to know what it's like? Ted tries not to squirm. It doesn't have to be weird, right? Well, I mean, not what it feels like. I figure it feels pretty good. I got a healthy imagination. But it's hard to explain exactly. I'm more wondering about, Beard asks, what it's like spiritually. Oh, yeah. Thank God for Beard's endless wisdom. Ted nods, heart pounding. Beard is silent for a spell, as per usual. It really used to drive Ted up the wall. Now he knows Beard needs time to formulate his thoughts into words. Just because Ted does a lot of that out loud doesn't mean everyone does, or should. It's different with every person, Beard says, slow, steady. But ideally, it's fun and open, safe, but thrilling. It's one of the easiest ways I've found to communicate. Easier for me to talk. Beard nods like he's getting around to his thesis. For me, it's a chance to get out of my head for a while and be present in my body. To use my body to help another person feel connected to theirs. Ted can feel his pulse quickening, and he's getting turned on. Ted tries not to tense up. Part of him wants to leave the room from embarrassment, totally sure Beard will notice. Another part of him feels like it would be a betrayal of what Beard just kindly shared with him to make an escape. What Beard's describing sounds really nice. That's helpful, Ted says, mouth dry. He tries for a smile, hoping it doesn't look as shaky as it feels. Thanks, Beard. Beard nods a no problem. You said you haven't before? He asks. Oh, that's safer territory. Ted jumps on it with zeal. Nope, not much in the way of experience. Mostly limited to some making out, and there was this one girl back in Kansas. Ted lets out a chuckle, feeling flushed. In the back of my car during a 4th of July barbecue, she and I, well, there was some over-the-clothes action, and then she asked me to... Oh, geez, he shouldn't kiss and tell. He rubs the back of his neck and peeks over, and Beard's biting his lip and shifting his baseball cap. But gosh, Ted says anxiously, I don't know if all that stuff you just said was a part of it. Felt like everything happened pretty quick. Beard gives him a small smile. I did say ideally, he points out. My first time was in a basement, and we had to be quick about it because the parental units were going to be home soon. Beard grimaces. Not the best setting or set of circumstances. Sometimes being in a rush is fun, but not when you don't really know what you're doing. That just means not enough time to make sure it's really good for everyone involved. I won't know what I'm doing, Ted confesses. Pretty sure I'm going to be really bad at it. Beard folds his hands together in his lap. Maybe it's better not to build it up in your head as something to be good or bad at. Ted looks over inquisitively, and now they're making eye contact. Beard shrugs again. It helps me to see it more as a fun process of learning. Sex is good when I check in and make sure it's good for the other person, too. You trying to tell me I should just ask? Ted says, smirking. Beard smirks back. Am I? Ted laughs. then settles more comfortably into the beat-up couch they got from Goodwill. So, what? I should say, hey, how's this going for ya? Beard's smile is wide and easy. Sure. But you can check in with them in a fun way. He grabs a square couch pillow and holds both sides. I might say, soft like this? Beard strokes his hand slowly up the front, a sensual slide that makes Ted wish he had a pillow of his own all of a sudden. Or a little tighter. His hands tighten on the pillow, and Beard uses his thumbs to press into the cushion. I see, Ted mutters, outrageously turned on and trying to figure out the best way to make an exit so he can go do something about it. Well, thanks for the advice. He stands as smoothly as he can and starts toward the hallway to their rooms. I'm gonna. He's got no good excuse. He can't exactly tell Beard he's gonna jack himself off to the thought of soft and tight hands on skin. He leaves his sentence unfinished and hopes he wasn't too obvious, but Beard's a pretty perceptive guy, so Ted doesn't like his chances. In bed, Ted gets right to it, reaching inside his sweatpants and starting a slow, steady rhythm. He's wet enough he doesn't need anything to grease the wheels, and it takes no time at all. He comes gasping into his pillow, heart hammering with excitement and guilt. Sweat prickles out over his body. Ted lays in the aftermath, firmly telling himself it's not weird to be turned on by his roommate and best friend, talking about and demonstrating how to be a good sex partner. Beards brought someone home again. Ted hears them coming in. Hears the front door, two sets of footsteps, and then music. Well, Beard's a smart guy. No surprise he worked that one out. Ted can't hear a lick. That should solve the problem. But instead, Ted finds himself thinking about Beard's hands and whether the girl in there with him prefers a softer, tight grip. But that's a line he shouldn't cross. It's an invasion of privacy. Completely inappropriate. Low-level arousal burns through him the entire time the music is drifting through the walls. When it eventually goes quiet, Ted lets out a long breath and tries to think about anything else. Best hip-hop album, best horror movie, instead of what his mind keeps stubbornly returning to. What did it feel like to touch someone the way they like to be touched? And what did it feel like to be touched exactly the way he likes it? Ted has no idea how he likes it. He wakes up early, so he showers, gets dressed, and plants himself at the kitchen table with coffee and scrambled eggs. After he eats, equipped with a refill, Ted does some of his assigned reading at the table. A while later, Beard stumbles into the kitchen in sweatpants and nothing else to grab a cup of coffee and the pan with the eggs Ted left for him. Beard sits down and starts eating, not bothering with a plate. He tries not to stare, but Beard seems to notice. Forgot to eat last night. I'm in need of sustenance. Ted nods, gives Beard a thumbs up, and, for some ungodly reason, says, well, sure, and you probably used a lot of energy last night. Ted is so horrified with himself that he cringes, but Beard only inclines his head and laughs. That I did. Sorry. Wow, that was rude of me, Ted exclaims, hot all over. Not cool, especially after you were nice enough to put music on. Hey, look, it's none of my business. I shouldn't have. Ted, Beard says, He takes a sip of his coffee, so Ted has to wait. Want to go to Costco and try free samples? Ted gapes at him for a second, then cracks up. You know what? I really, really do. Beard shoots him a finger gun, washes the pan, and brings his coffee with him as he leaves the room, presumably to get ready. The whole time, Ted keeps finding his eye drawn to the muscles in Beard's back, something he's never really noticed before, even though he's seen Beard shirtless a number of times. Has he been working out? Ted goes back to his textbook, but he keeps scanning the words without taking them in. At Costco, Ted and Beard try out the free samples. No thank you to a sample of hot brown water, big yes to the warm chocolate chip cookies. Then they buy a boatload of hot dogs and bring them to the car to enjoy while parked, away from the Saturday crowd. Ted's halfway through his first when curiosity gets the better of him again. So, are you dating that gal you were with last night? Ted could have timed that better. Now he has to wait for Beard to finish his bite of hot dog and hope he hasn't pressed for more info than Beard, the certifiably reserved guy, might want to share. But Beard doesn't seem uncomfortable. Nah, he mutters, just a casual, one-time thing. Casual? Ted really can't imagine sex being casual. You don't... He hesitates, but Beard turns his head in invitation, meeting his gaze with openness. Relieved, Ted carries on. You don't... get attached? Beard eats some more, so Ted does too, trying to make peace with the quiet. Sometimes I do, Beard says at last, but it's better if I keep it casual. I'm not good at relationships. Why not? Ted asks. Beard squints through the windshield, then moves his sunglasses from the perch on his head and back down over his eyes. Who wants to date someone that doesn't talk? Ted looks over in surprise. You talk? You're quiet, but you still... I mean, you're talking right now, aren't you? Beard huffs out a laugh. Believe it or not, he says dryly, I'm not usually this verbose. Is that so? Ted grins at him. Well, I'm honored. He reaches for one of the hot dogs in the box on the center console between them and busies himself with the aluminum foil to gather his nerves, then asks, So, that the average length of time for you? Beard looks over, the corner of his mouth turning up in amusement. Don't exactly time it, but yeah, about that. 1 hour, 23 minutes. Jeez, Ted murmurs. No wonder gals try to get your number from me. Beard laughs in a bashful way and reaches for another hot dog. You ever give it out? He asks with genuine interest. Nah, Ted says, flashing Beard a smirk. I just tell him you've been spotted at Reggie's from time to time. Beard holds his fist out with a smirk of his own, and Ted gives him props. He's not about to leave his buddy hanging. The music becomes some kind of Pavlovian classical conditioning. Music equals Beard having sex in the next room. Ted keeps his hands to himself, or rather, doesn't keep his hands to himself, and finds safe activities to do, like reading and... reading. He makes sure his privacy sessions are strictly reserved for the shower and mornings in bed, and he focuses on generic, safe fantasies when he jacks off, not allowing his mind to stray too much. It doesn't always work. Ted figures it's all about mind over matter, but admittedly, his mind ain't exactly cooperating. Sometimes his brain goes there without permission, imagining soft hands over skin, a tight hold, and fingers inside warm, wet heat. He feels on edge, especially since Beard seems to bring someone home pretty often. Ted doesn't judge. It's all right to be nuts for butts. Just because Ted's waiting for the right person, that don't mean Beard needs to do the same. Ted hasn't met any of the gals Beard's brought home. Never even run into one of them in the hallway. It's probably a different girl every time, since Beard told him he's not a relationship guy, that he's got more of a one-and-done situation going for him. Ted's just so curious. Waiting feels torturous lately. He's never been this interested in sex. It's always been a nice, pleasant thought for the future, something he thinks about to get the job done, and here and there, fleetingly throughout the day. But nothing like this. The frequent, dizzying reminders from the next room that he could be finding out what it's like. Ted sure is grateful when midterms rear their head, because at least he's got something else to force his mind on, and studying and writing essays mostly works as a distraction. Then, Easter weekend is nearly upon them, which Ted will be spending with his mother. It'll be fine. Just a couple of days. He can handle a couple of days in that house. Beard's been very conscientious about the music. Ted hasn't heard a peep from over there since that first time. That is, until tonight, when Ted is supposed to be visiting his mom for the long weekend, but he's still at the apartment because he decided at the last minute to wait out the worst of the traffic and head there tomorrow morning instead. Beard's brought someone home, but there's no music, of course, because he wasn't expecting Ted to be here. That ain't Beard's fault. So Ted dutifully puts a pillow over his head, deciding he's gonna buy some gosh darn earplugs, cursing himself for not having thought of that before now. Even with the pillow, he can still hear a little bit, and, well, that's definitely a guy in there with Beard, and... huh. Ted's never given it much thought. Two guys together. The magazine falls right out of his hands. They're so slippery with a sudden slick of sweat on his palms. It lands face down, but he can see the pictures in his mind's eye. See them. Two guys doing stuff he didn't know guys could do together. Okay. He's given it some thought. For weeks after he found the magazine in the woods, he thought about going back and trying to find it again. He talked himself out of it every time. After all, there was a reason it had been in the woods, right? Besides, he didn't really need it anyway, with how vividly he could remember. Maybe he still thinks about those images, sometimes, right near the end when his mind's just cycling through faceless, formless shapes to get himself over the hurdle. The memory of those images meets headlong with what he can hear through the muffle of the pillow, which ain't much, just some deep, low groans and more bed squeaking. Those springs need a good old-fashioned oiling. But it's still enough for Ted to get hard so fast he reaches into his boxers to take himself in hand, just to stave off some of the desperate need. Suddenly, he's imagining himself in there with Beard, just for a second, and he tries to yank himself away from that line of thinking, but the image is striking, and he can hear Beard in his mind, soft like this, or a little tighter. doesn't take more than a few shaky pulls. Ted doesn't sleep a wink the whole damn night. He slips out of the apartment before sunrise and finds a bench in the park down the street to sink unsteadily into. He does like girls. He knows he does, even if he doesn't have much experience beyond making out with Amanda Tyrone when they dated junior year and Janelle Rhodes when they were seniors. And there was the time in the car with Sally Winters after the 4th of July barbecue, right before college. It started out as dry humping, a term that should cease to exist on account of being gross and inaccurate, and it felt amazing. So when Sally asked, he slid his fingers into her until she moaned in his ear, arched her back, and clenched around him. She offered to use her hand on him, but he put a stop to that and drove her home before they could go any further. Still, Ted liked it a whole lot, the way she gasped and moaned. He definitely likes girls. He's just always put the brakes on before he could get carried away, that's all. He just knew that's what he was supposed to do. Listen, buddy, there ain't no hurry. You know, there's plenty of time to explore all of that down the road. No need to get carried away and rush toward something that'll be waiting when you're ready, when you found someone special. No. No. Ted stands with a jolt so forceful it wrenches him back to the present, to the park around him. He counts trees on the walk down to the pond where the ducks gather in warmer weather. He counts the trees and doesn't think about anything. The water is calm, nary a wrinkle on its surface. So, Beard hooks up with girls, but apparently he's fine hooking up with a guy. It's goddamned world-widening. Somehow it's never occurred to Ted that it might be possible to like guys and girls. That Ted could like both. Does he like guys? He doesn't have an answer when he finally heads back, cold fingers jammed for warmth in the pockets of his jacket. Beard's eating cereal and reading in the kitchen when Ted re-enters the apartment. He looks up in surprise, clearly wondering why Ted's here and not at his mom's house. Then he goes back to eating his cereal, with a nod that would be a chipper smile and hello for many of the Midwesterners Ted grew up with. Beard takes a sip of his coffee. Ted pours himself one of his own, sits down, and lets his curiosity get the better of him. Without looking at Beard, he asks, So, did you have a nice time last night? With... Beard stops with the spoon halfway to his mouth, lowers it back to the bowl, and puts the book down. He's silent for nearly a full minute, and then he says, "Sorry. Thought you were..." "No, don't be sorry," Ted says quickly. "You didn't know. My fault for being around when you had every reason to think I wouldn't be here. I'll get myself a couple of earplugs. No worries, Beard." Beard nods in an absent sort of way. Ted nods a bit too, takes a sip of his coffee and wishes it had the power to calm his rapid heartbeat. The words get stuck in his throat. He swallows and tries again. "Do you mind if I ask you something?" "No." Ted can see the magazine in his mind's eye. "You hook up with girls and guys?" Beard looks at him headlong. Yep. That's not a problem, is it? Ted waves his hands urgently. No, no, not at all. Heck, of course not. I'm only... Ted looks down at the calm surface of his coffee. He can't say this while he's looking at Beard. Can barely get the words out as it is. I'm just feeling a little dumb, 'cause I never really thought about the possibility of liking girls and guys. When Beard breaks the nigh unbearable silence, he says, That's not dumb. Just a shitty side effect of not feeling like we're allowed to do things more than one way. More than one way. Ted puts a stop to the swell of complex emotion trying to force its way out of him, a mixture of anxiety and uncertainty, but there is something else, too. Excitement, maybe, or possibility. Wise as ever, Beard, Ted manages to say, once he can finally safely speak. Beard lifts his coffee cup in cheers, and Ted picks his own up to clink them together. There's a heck of a lot held in that little clink, but Ted doesn't feel remotely prepared to unravel it all. When he starts the car for the trek to his mother's house, it feels like he's driving toward misery. It's just, he's been so out of sorts and on edge lately, and that house won't help one damn iota. He wishes he could skip the visit, but he said he'd come, and that's what he's gonna do. Ted cranks the music on the drive, letting that fill his mind up for the duration. It helps that his mother's talking a mile a minute from the moment he gets out of the car. Not much space for his thoughts to spread out. He accompanies her on the day's errands, spending most of the afternoon making small talk with people he hasn't seen in a while. When they're back at the house, she gives him the lowdown at work, and he tells her about his classes, and that takes them right into the late evening. She heads up to her room for the night with a tired, "See you at dawn, little fawn." And then Ted is alone. It's the moment he's been dreading ever since he left the apartment around 7 hours ago. He can only stand to be in the still, silent house for about half a minute before it becomes too difficult to take in proper breaths. His skin feels stretched too tight over bone, so he rushes through the kitchen door into the fresh air, practically chased out. By the taste of Coors Light on his tongue and the burn of carbonation against his lips, by the sun that day, low in the sky but still casting a light through the kitchen window and into his dumbstruck face, the glare making him squint, by the rush of blood in his ears as he sat, waiting in the intolerable silence. The tire swing is still attached to the big oak tree. He gives the rubber a good shove to watch it swing wildly around, then sits on the steps of the back porch. Okay, that's better. His hands don't feel so shaky now, and he can breathe easier out here. He's fine. He doesn't want to think about the worst day of his life. That leaves an empty space for the other thing he's trying to put out of his mind, so it floods right in. Beard, and the image that pushed him over the hurdle last night. The image of him and Beard together. He hasn't so much as kissed another man, but there's some pretty compelling evidence that he is attracted to guys. Like the thoughts he's been entertaining as of late, and in all honesty, since he was 14. In retrospect, He's been sprinting away from that magazine ever since he did it in real time. So, that's it, then. He likes guys. Except, of course, there's another reality he needs to face alongside that one. When they first met, Ted felt like he knew Beard already. That's how deep their friendship goes. It's the kind you don't muck around with, right? He can't go down that road. Anyway, why would Beard be interested in him? Just 'cause Ted happens to be a guy? It would be pretty damn arrogant of Ted to assume that. Then there's the fact that Beard keeps his relationship short and sweet. Could Ted even handle some kind of one-time thing with Beard? That's already a whole lot of reasons not to explore the matter any deeper. When he feels ready to enter his mother's house again, he heads right to his bedroom. Padding softly inside, he lays down on the twin bed. His eye is drawn to the poster on the wall of Michael Jordan, which is, now he's looking at it, such damning evidence it makes him laugh out loud. But soon the laughter shifts to a wobbling lip, and his eyes flood with tears. "Dad, are those men kissing?" "Sure looks like a kiss to me." "That's swell, ain't it, bud? They seem like a nice couple." Ted tucks his face into the pillow to muffle the sounds rushing out of him. Fuck him for not being here. For skipping out on life altogether and leaving Ted with his thoughts, never able to share a single one of them with him ever again. When Ted wakes in the morning, his face is tight with dried tears, and he feels like someone's put him through the wash and wrung him dry. His mother's at the kitchen table, staring out the window, until she notices him with a jolt. "Hey, sweet pea, there are waffles in the oven and there's coffee in the pot," she says, beaming and shifting like she's about to stand. "Don't get up," he tells her gently. "I've got it. You need a refill?" Off her nod, he adds coffee to her mug, then shakes his head with a smile when she stands up right away to get the maple syrup from the fridge. Ted brings his plate of waffles over and sits down, and his mom snaps her fingers with the force of the conversation topic that bursts forward. "Oh, how is Beard doing? Did he go home for the holiday?" Ted swallows his bite of waffle and washes it down with a gulp of coffee. "Nah, he stayed home. He's working this weekend." "Where's he working again?" "In the library at school." Ted grins at her. "He works the opening shift, so he's really gotta book it." She gives him a fond look, smiling wide enough that he can see the crinkles in the corners of her eyes. "What a smart young man he is. You tell him he's welcome here anytime." "Yes, ma'am," Ted says. "How's Nana doing? How's that hip treating her?" "Bad as ever," she replies. "I keep telling her to get the darn replacement already, but you know how stubborn she can be. Says she doesn't have 6 weeks of rest in her, and she'll go stir crazy watching me do everything for her while she just sits around." Ted gives her an innocent expression, polishing off the last bite of his waffle. "Ain't that funny? I remember a certain someone nearly falling on a broken wrist 'cause she refused to let the nice grocery store clerk walk her bags to the car." His mother sighs. "It was one bag." Ted puts his silverware on his empty plate. "Pretty sure it was two," he sing-songs, eyebrows arched playfully. "And weren't they heavy?" she mimes, swatting at him. "All right now, that's enough sass from you." "Aye, aye," He gives her a salute, drinks the rest of his coffee, and goes to the sink with the dishes.
James, you're getting water everywhere.
Sorry, honey. This thing's got a mind of its own.
For Pete's sake, point that thing at the garden already.
Aye, aye. Sweetie, you with me? Ted jolts and fumbles the mug he's still running under the tap. Whoops, afraid not. Can you run that by me again? Oh, I'm just thinking out loud, hoping you might be able to convince Nana to get herself a new and improved hip. Ted turns the tap off and dries his hands on the towel pushed through the handle on the cabinet under the sink before turning around to lean against the counter. Do you think we could convince her all the cool folks are getting hips these days? That it's all the rage? She laughs and leans up to kiss his cheek. You're a good son. Ted hugs her, closing his eyes at the smell of her shampoo. You're the best, Mom. Dinner at Nana's is a full house with Ted's aunts and uncles and cousins, and he doesn't have time at all to think about anything but the next conversation. The food is delicious, the wine and beer flowing, and Ted gets pleasantly drunk. A game of football breaks out, and everyone's toppling over trying to catch wobbly throws and tossing wild misses, laughing up a storm. It's almost enough to forget who's missing. When it's time to head back to the house, his mother drives. She is quiet, and so is he, but the radio fills the silence easily. Ted's head spins for the first minute after he lies down. Then he notices he's half hard and sheds his boxers to tug on his cock. He's too mentally exhausted to do anything but let his thoughts go where they want. Beard's hands on him, one arm wrapped around Ted's thigh to grip Ted's cock in a tight fist, the fingers of his other hand buried inside Ted. Beard murmuring, "This how you like it? Want it harder?" Ted moaning, "More! Just more!" Beard sucking a kiss into his inner thigh and giving him more. Ted strips his dick fast, circles his hole and presses a finger inside, just the tip, but that's more than enough. He arches his back as he comes over his hand, biting his lip to keep his desperate moan inside. He's too tipsy to feel very guilty about the beard of it all. He pulls the sheet up and falls asleep instantly. The house is empty when he wakes up. It's just before noon on a Sunday, so it ain't exactly a mystery. Ted puts his coat on and takes his coffee out on the back porch, where he leans against the railing and watches a squirrel cross a power line. He can picture it, him and Beard. It wouldn't necessarily be that different from what they're doing now, would it? Their lives are mixed nicely together. They've got a daily routine for meals and keeping the apartment clean. They do their own thing, but still spend a lot of time together. And Ted feels calm around Beard. There's an ease and comfort with him that it's hard to imagine feeling with anyone else. The only thing missing is the sex, which Beard is special. He has been since the day he stood behind Ted in the line at the coffee kiosk and said, mostly to himself, "American Daisy with dark center that was a leading U.S. suffragette." Ted automatically turned around. When he saw Beard by himself, then looking off at a field of black-eyed Susans, Ted decided to take a shot at it. Black-eyed Susan B. Anthony? Beard looked over in surprise, and then his eyes lit up. They spent the rest of the wait in line coming up with more, and ended up sitting on a nearby bench for another hour. From that first conversation, Ted knew they were kindred spirits. When he remembers the coffee, it's getting cold. He should go back inside where it's warm, but maybe in another minute. After Easter dinner, just the two of them, Ted's mother pulls him into a tight hug beside the car. "Call when you get there, please," she whispers. "Course I will," he mutters, folding her up under his arms. "Love you, Mom." "Oh, I love you." Ted can already feel the tension lessening by degrees when he slides into the driver's seat and starts the engine for the drive home. He backed the car in when he arrived on Friday, so there's no need to put it in reverse. Beard is laid out on the couch and definitely under the influence of weed when Ted steps inside his apartment, but he shifts to sitting as Ted drops his bag at the door. He gives him a "just a sec" gesture and goes to the phone to call his mother, and then it's straight to the couch to join Beard. He sits closer to Beard than he meant to, but he can't summon the energy to shift over. "How was your weekend?" Beard asks. Ted chuckles tiredly and waves at the joint in the ashtray. "I could use some of that." Beard passes it right over. Ted sparks up and takes a few drags, then holds it up for Beard, who waves his hand in a clear "good for now." Ted stubs it out and leans against the couch with his head tipped all the way back, closing his eyes with an involuntary sigh. "Hard to go back," Beard says, ever the sage. Ted inhales shakily. "Yeah," he says as he exhales. He lets his head loll sideways and opens his eyes to find Beard watching him. Beard looks away, shifting the baseball cap on his head. When his discerning gaze returns, Ted swallows and reaches out, pushing the brim backwards so that the hat tips all the way off. Beard's eyebrows are properly visible now, then they've basically run up to join the rest of the hair on his head. Ted lets his hand drop to Beard's arm, gripping it. "Feel like a tetherball that's been yanked off the pole," he murmurs. He leans in, heart racing, closes his eyes, just in case. When their lips meet, Beard breathes in and opens his mouth slowly. At the brush of tongue, Ted lights up, fisting his hands in the hood of Beard's sweater with a rushed gasp. Quick as a flash, they're horizontal. Ted spreads his legs, and Beard settles between them and back into the kiss with a sound that goes straight to Ted's cock, throbbing and begging already. Beard cups the back of Ted's head, thumbs stroking the skin below his ears. Ted feels his hair stand on end and gets his hands inside the collar of Beard's shirt so he can reach the muscle of Beard's shoulders. Beard shifts the kiss to the other side and makes a searing, hot, guttural sound into Ted's mouth. Ted opens his mouth wider and presses into the next kiss with a hum of arousal. He bends one knee along the back of the couch and pushes up against Beard's weight on him with a shivering moan. So fast it's gotta be in response, Beard breaks the kiss with a gasp of breath and sits back on his heels. "Wait," Beard croaks out, "we should talk." Shaking his head furiously, Ted tries to tug Beard back down. "Come on, God, I am done talking. I don't want to talk or think. I just want to..." "Not a good idea." Beard shifts back to the seated position he was in before, breathing unsteadily and running a hand through his hair. not something to jump into without talking. Tad sits up, the shift in mood disorienting. The sting of rejection is there, too, but, well, Beard isn't saying he's not interested, or that he doesn't want to. He's saying they should talk. Beard is saying they should talk. "I'm sorry, Beard," he mutters, ashamed of himself. Beard's gaze snaps to him. "You're sorry?" he repeats dully. "What for?" Ted's having trouble reading Beard's expression. "You said you like to check in." A few seconds pass, and Beard's look softens as he releases a breath of laughter. "Yeah, I do. Don't want us doing something we can't march ourselves back from." Ted frowns. "Hang on a sec. Who says I'll want to march back from this?" Beard lifts his brows. "Got a couple reasons in my back pocket. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is new territory for you. And there's the fact that you look like you've gone a few figurative rounds with Muhammad Ali." Ted nods while he processes these points. Beard's gaze is steady, examining. So Ted holds up his hands in an honest-to-God gesture. "Okay, you're right. This is new territory. But it's territory I've been scoping out lately, if you get my meaning." Ted holds Beard's gaze earnestly and tells him, "I've been having some pretty compelling thoughts about you for a while now, Beard." Beard looks a tad flushed as he clears his throat. "Mm-hmm. And the second thing?" Now Ted has to break their gaze. "Look, going back to my mother's house ain't easy for me. Suffice to say, it holds a lot of memories. And sure, maybe I'm a little raw right now," he goes to say, "but," and finds he can't. It wouldn't be honest. He knocks his knee into Beard's. "No, I am raw right now. And I did want to turn off my brain. That ain't right, is it?" "It's not right or wrong. It's value neutral," Beard states. Ted looks him over curiously. Beard is quiet, clearly thinking through his words, before he continues. "People have sex to turn off their brains all the time. It's fine." Beard knocks their knees together. "But you gotta know." "Oh. You're saying we gotta be on the same wavelength." Beard nods triumphantly. "Electromagnetic fields, baby." Ted laughs. "All right. So, are we on the same wavelength, then? About picking up where we left off?" Ted's mouth goes dry as he thinks about it. About having sex with Beard. "'Cause I gotta be honest, man. I have not stopped thinking about what you did to that pillow a while back. You know, with the soft hands and the tight hands." Beard blinks slowly. Then he puts a hand on the inside of Ted's thigh, just above his knee, and leans in close to Ted's ear. "Yeah," he checks, voice a heated rumble. "What did you like the sound of more?" Ted's not going to make it through the next 5 minutes without passing out, judging by the speed with which blood is rapidly moving south. Beard takes the lobe of Ted's ear between his teeth with a harsh breath, and Ted grabs onto the hood of Beard's zip-up again, stammers, both sounded real nice, to tell you the truth. Beard's hand moves slowly, a soft, barely there pressure before he presses his thumb into Ted's inner thigh. Both? Both, Ted gasps through the intense throb of his erection. But, gosh, right now I'm thinking about moving this to a bed. Got it in one, Ted says heatedly, and brings their mouths together. Ted ends up on his back on the couch for a few minutes, rocking up into Beard's thrusts and kisses, before muttering, "Maybe beds are overrated." "Lies," Beard says, and then he's on his feet and pulling Ted up to join him. It's pretty flattering to see Beard adjusting himself in his peripheral vision as they're making their way down the hall. Ted's heart is racing. "Your room?" he asks. Beard shrugs. "If you want." Chuckling, Ted says, "Might as well complete the fantasies I've been harboring. What with those thin walls of ours?" Beard backs Ted up against the wall right outside his own bedroom and kisses Ted. "Fantasies?" he asks, looking intrigued. Ted nods. "Oh, yeah, all kinds." Beard noses along to Ted's ear again. "Tell me." Ted swallows and guides Beard's hands under the hem of his shirt. "Your hands right here." Obligingly, Beard slides his left hand slowly up and over the pebble of Ted's stiff nipple. "Like this?" Ted groans in answer. Beard thumbs over it once more. "Yeah," Ted sighs, hard as a diamond, trembling with it. "Like that, yeah." Beard keeps doing that while he's sucking a wet kiss into Ted's collarbone, which makes Ted release a low moan, heartbeat pounding in his dick. Beard says huskily, "Want to get my hands all over you?" Ted bites back a whimper. "Sounds mighty nice." Beard snorts softly and opens his door, tugging Ted inside. "You talk like that the whole time, and I'm not going to be able to maintain my street cred." Ted chuckles breathlessly, cheeks hot. "What kind of street cred are we talking here?" he asks, making a meal out of throwing himself into the bed. "Your sex street cred?" "Yep." Beard takes off his hooded sweater and tosses it onto his desk before spreading out on his side and curling an arm around Ted's chest. He quirks an eyebrow. "The infamous sex street cred." Ted laughs, to which Beard tilts his head. "You good?" "Oh." Turns out he's shaking, and that laugh was pretty shaky too. Ted wraps his hand around Beard's forearm, anchoring himself with the feel of soft skin and muscle. "Guess I'm a little nervous," he murmurs with a grimacing smile. "You remember when I said I haven't done this before, so I'm gonna be bad at it?" "Ted." Beard shakes his head, thumb stroking a hypnotic rhythm over Ted's collarbone. "You remember that morning I couldn't keep anything down? Asked if you could stop at the 7-Eleven and pick up a ginger ale for me on your way back from class?" Ted nods. "What did you come back with?" "Change for a 20? Beard answers. 3 different brands of ginger ale. Not after your class. Immediately." Beard leans close again and murmurs in his ear. "You like making people feel good. You make sure other people are taken care of. You're not gonna be bad at this. Oh, Ted can feel his ears growing hot. That's super kind of you to... He breaks off with a gasp, desire momentarily crowding out any other thoughts when Beard sucks at the spot under Ted's jaw. But, technique-wise, I'm... You really think I won't show you techniques? Beard hoists himself up on his forearm, so he's hovering over Ted. Hey, it's us. Us. Ted moans into the kiss Beard plants on him, palming the sides of Beard's face and exhaling a ragged breath as Beard sucks on his bottom lip. Yeah? Ted breathes. You gonna tutor me, Beard? Like you did with biology? Beard shudders against him. Mm-hmm. Gonna pay close attention to the unit on anatomy. Ted laughs as Beard shifts down the mattress, quickly level with Ted's crotch. He looks up and fixes his hands around the waistband of Ted's pants, fingers brushing Ted's heaving stomach. Mind if I take these off? Oh, heck, Ted groans, arching his back, cock aching for contact. Off? You bet. Take 'em off to the races if you're feeling so inclined. Beard grins as he takes them off, and then pushes at the hem of Ted's shirt. This too. Can do. Ted yanks his shirt off, which is good since he's sweating through it anyway. But also, he's losing a lot of clothes, and Beard's still... You're looking a little overdressed there, buddy. I'll fix that in a minute. Kinda distracted. Beard's gaze on him is scorching. Got this hot guy in my bed. Jeez! Ted's gotta be giving off steam. He's blushing so hard. He plucks at the collar of Beard's top impatiently. Come on, now. My kingdom for a shirt. Beard says, fuck, under his breath, and kneels to strip himself of said shirt, revealing skin that Ted gets to put his hands on immediately as Beard straddles Ted, swooping in for another kiss with his hands splayed on either side of Ted's shoulders, hemming him in. Ted, Beard says slowly, seriously, gonna tell you what I want to do for you now, and then I want to hear what you think about it. Uh-huh, sure thing. All ears, baby, Ted babbles, remembering abruptly how ridiculously hard his cock is right now. Beard makes a sound that seems to come from deep within and shifts his weight so he's holding himself up with one arm. I would like to take these off you, Beard murmurs, gently snapping the waistband of Ted's boxer briefs. I'd like to suck your cock while you tell me how it feels. And I'd like to do that till you come. What do you think? Ted shivers all over, thrusting up into Beard's hips, pressing him into the mattress. I think that I might not be that verbose once you start, Ted says feverishly. 'Cause, see... I find the idea of you doing that for me as hot as a supernova, and I don't rightly know what kind of speech I'll be capable. Ted throws his head back with a mingled sound as Beard thrusts hard against him, the material of his jeans in rough contrast to Ted's minimally clothed form. But hey, Ted adds urgently, let's give it a spin. I'm all for a challenge. Beard stands up to quickly shuck off his jeans and underwear, and Ted gets his first glimpse at what he's been trying so hard not to imagine until very recently. The sight is a welcome one. Then Beard leans over to grab hold of the waistband of Ted's underwear, arching an eyebrow in question and waiting for Ted's go-ahead, which Ted provides with a frenetic nod. trying not to squirm under Beard's appreciative eye or make any of the 6 self-deprecating jokes that have sprung to mind, Ted finds he can breathe a little easier when Beard gets back in bed with him. "Hang on," Ted says, trying to tug Beard closer. "Come here. I want to feel." Beard seems to get it before he even has to ask, because he presses all along Ted's body, nosing across Ted's throat to his ear again. "Like this," he says, all breath. Ted sighs, letting his legs fall open and his hands free to roam and explore. "Yeah, that's... yeah," Beard says, arms sliding up under Ted's shoulders. Their cocks are pinned between the slick press of their bodies, and Ted grabs Beard's shoulders for purchase, sliding his calves along Beard's. He throws his head back at the tingling buzz in his skin at the points of contact. "No wonder people do this all the time." Ted's mouth drops open as Beard spreads kisses along Ted's bared throat and grinds their cocks together between them. "God, does it always feel like this?" What's it feel like?" Beard gasps. A whine escapes from the back of Ted's throat at the glorious feel of skin on skin. He cries out in Beard's ear, trembling and holding Beard close with his hands on Beard's back. Ted answers, "Like they're sparks, holy hell." Beard pants harshly as he thrusts. "No." Beard's voice is quavering, and he shudders, groaning low and deep in Ted's ear. It doesn't always feel like this." "Right. Yeah," Ted blurts through the good warm yes zinging through him. "No one would ever get anything done. It all feels so damn good." Ted sobs out his pleasure. "Beard, I'm right on the edge. Yeah," Beard grunts, thrusting wildly. "Me too." Ted comes so hard he blacks out for a few minutes. Everything goes quiet and still, pleasure cascading all the way out to the tips of his fingers. When he's back, Beard is shuddering and moaning on top of him, and he stiffens in Ted's hold and comes shaking between them. Ted catches his breath, palming his hand up the nape of Beard's neck and into his sweaty hair, as the tremors slowly subside. His thoughts swim pleasantly, none of them taking hold too firmly. Boy, that was something else. "I had plans," Beard says breathlessly. "Sex street cred plans." Ted snorts, indulging in the heat of Beard draped over him, the feel of Beard's skin under his hands. He feels pretty darn good, so he closes his eyes. And then he's asleep. When he wakes up, he's hit by the disorienting feeling of waking up somewhere unfamiliar. In the dark of Beard's bedroom, Beard is snoring beside him, the sheet pulled over the both of them. The clock on the side table tells him it's just past 3 in the morning. Ted had sex with Beard. It was... words can't describe. More amazing than Ted could have possibly imagined. Beard coming apart over him. Ted feeling how the pleasure moved through Beard's body. As wonderful as the memory of that is, Ted lays in the darkness, reliving, half hard, until doubt makes a rude appearance. Was doing this such a good idea, actually? It seemed like a brilliant one a few hours ago, But was this just a one-time thing? Like it is with the other people Beards had sex with? Heck, should he go back to his room? Ted turns on his back and tries to breathe through the rise in worry. He's just starting to get really worried when he notices the snoring has stopped. Beard shifts and rolls on his side. "Hey," Beard rumbles out sleepily. "Hey there," Ted murmurs through the sound of his heartbeat in his ears. Beard's arm curls over Ted's waist, bringing them closer to each other. Their faces are inches apart. Beard rasps out, "Kind of want to give you that blowjob now." Ted inhales sharply. "So, not a one-time thing. Maybe a two-time thing?" Ted is fully hard now. "Okay," he says, before clearing the sleep from his voice. If you want to." Beard moves down the bed, pulling the sheet along with him. "I want to." "Nice of you." Ted bites his lip and nods frantically. "And is there anything I should be doing here?" "Besides enjoying it," Beard answers. Ted clenches Beard's shoulders in his hands as Beard curls a fist around Ted's cock. "Let me know what's working for you. Everyone's different, so if you like something, tell me. If something doesn't feel good, tell me." Ted gasps as Beard strokes slowly from root to tip. "That feels good," he says promptly. "Mm-hmm." Even in the dark, he can tell Beard's looking up at him as he gets a slow, steady stroke going. "Do you want a lighter grip?" Beard asks, demonstrating. "Or a tighter one?" "Tighter," Ted grits out. Beard tightens his grip, and Ted automatically thrusts into the next slide of Beard's fist. "Yeah, it's hard to hold your hips down when someone's doing this for you," Beard murmurs. "But it can be fun to try." Ted moans and does just that. It is fun, trying to hold back. All of it feels incredible. Beard's tight grip, each slide up and down, the twist Beard keeps giving to the head on each downstroke, like Ted does for himself. Remembering that Beard wants Ted to tell him what's working, Ted mutters, "Yeah, that twist is... I like that a whole lot." Beard twists a little more on each swipe. And boy, that's good. "Here, bend your knee," Beard says, voice carrying in the silence. "Yeah, there. Now I can..." Beard slides his other hand up the back of Ted's thigh and around to the front, stroking the skin there. "Gonna get started now. It's normal to gag the first few times you're doing this for someone, especially if someone thrusts before you're expecting it." Ted doesn't realize he's tensing the muscles in his thighs until Beard soothes it with a stroke. "Don't worry. No big deal if it happens. I'll just move with it, and I'll hold your hips down." And with that, Beard slides his mouth over the head of Ted's cock. Ted inhales sharply, and Beard hums and takes more of Ted into the warm heat of his mouth, with each bob of his head sucking as he pulls up and tightening his lips as he sinks down. Ted keens in his throat and digs his nails into Beard's shoulders, then lets go quickly. "Sorry," Ted gasps, then arches his back involuntarily as Beard slides back up and off, taking in a breath of air. "All good," Beard tells him. "Lots of people like a bit of pain, nails and teeth. Some like more than a bit. Either way, good to check." Ted bobs his head in understanding. Gotcha. And you, do you like that? Nails and teeth? I do like that. Makes me feel like I'm doing it right. Like the other person is having such a good time, they can't help it. Beard sucks a spot into the base of Ted's dick, and Ted starts breathing quickly through his nose, head thrown back, trying not to thrust. Beard, that's... Ted sighs and holds tight to Beard's shoulders as he takes Ted in his mouth again. Ted experimentally digs his nails in, moaning at the furious heat of Beard's mouth around him. Oh, hell, that's... Beard moans and sinks almost all the way down Ted's cock in one go. Wait, wait, Ted breathes in alarm. His hands settle on Beard's face without conscious thought, while Beard pulls off, quick as anything. All good? Beard asks, breathing hard, eyebrows knitted in concern. All good? Ted gapes down at him. Way too good! Beard laughs softly. Yeah, it's super intense at first, he says with a sympathetic nod. Super intense is the way to describe it. Yep, Ted says, blinking rapidly. Man, how do you do stuff for a whole hour? Beard grins up at him. Practice. Then goes right back to it. And Ted goes back to stroking his hands all over Beard as a way of grounding himself, instead of flying apart from the heat and suction. He slides his fingers into Beard's hair and through the scratch and stubble on Beard's cheeks, taking in the sight of Beard with his mouth stretched around him, desperate to memorize every second. Feels so damn good, he moans. Beard makes a noise around him that has Ted's hips straining upward without active permission. Beard puts an arm across Ted's waist, his other hand on his own cock, as he takes Ted deep again and again. Ted's moan when he feels his orgasm building is so loud and long that he feels a bit embarrassed, but it seems to make Beard happy. Moaning and thrusting into his hand, Beard rapidly strokes Ted through the peak as Ted comes. Hands in a vice grip over Beard's shoulders, trying and failing to restrain the buck of his hips, Ted pants through the waves cresting over him, his hands skimming over Beard's skin with no coordination or direction. Ted can hear the sound of Beard's hand on himself, quick and frantic. It's a damn good sound. And he looks down in time to watch Beard come with a rumbling groan, his forehead pressed to Ted's inner thigh. Beard hoists himself up the bed and back beside Ted, the room silent apart from their ragged breathing. Breathlessly, Ted turns on his side and gasps, "Kinda wanted to try that out for you, but you already..." Beard snorts and curls his arm up under the pillow. It's hot watching you come. Flushed, chest warm with joy, Ted meets Beard's eye and murmurs, "Likewise." Beard tips an imaginary cap and smiles. Then it's quiet, just the two of them looking at each other. Right now, Ted doesn't even know what he'd say. He can't put any of what he's feeling into organized words and sentences. He wishes Beard could read his mind. When Beard drops off, worry leaps out in front, and Ted can feel the familiar crackle of uncertainty coiling. Things between them feel the same, but different. What would Dayton look like for them? Beard said he's not a relationship guy. Beard is someone Ted regards as special. Has Ted set them up for an awkward fallout if Beard doesn't feel the same way? maybe it was a bad idea to have sex with him. Ted sneaks out and back to his room. In his own bed, the answers aren't any clearer. Sleep finally comes, giving Ted respite from the gnawing anxiety. Footsteps in the hall pull Ted from sleep. Beard's up. Time to face the day, right? No point in holding off. If this really isn't going anywhere beyond last night, it's better for Ted to know that now than to keep wondering, ain't it? The door of the apartment opens and shuts. Where's Beard gone? Is he heading to class? Or maybe Beard wants to go back to how it was before they kissed, before they had sex. Maybe Beard needs some time to think through how to tell Ted it was just a one-no-two-time thing. Oh, God. They were on the same wavelength last night, but what about today? And tomorrow? Did he just get carried away, rushing toward the peaceful quiet and companionship he feels when he's with Beard? If the feelings aren't mutual, if it's just something physical for Beard. In the shower, Ted freaks out some more. Last night, he wasn't thinking about how awful it would be to hear music coming from Beard's room, knowing it'll mean he's hooking up with someone else and not Ted. And now he knows what it's like to be in there with Beard. Ted wasn't thinking about the long term at all. When Ted turns the shower off, he can hear noise in the kitchen. Heart thumping wildly, Ted goes to his room to get dressed, wavering with what to do. Go out there and face the music, or stay in here forever? He can't sit with this worry much longer. Ted fixes his hair in the closet mirror. As he looks at his reflection, memories of last night make an appearance again. Their slick skin pressed tightly together. Beard sucking Ted's cock into his mouth. Beard taking himself in hand near the end. Ted shivers as that first shimmering buzz of arousal starts to sweep in. But he quickly directs his mind back to the current situation. Best to go in casual, right? Give Beard a graceful exit out of the awkwardness. Sure, it'll suck for a while, because Ted has gotten attached and, well, thinking back, that started happening long before last night. He's just gotta do it. Beard's mixing something in a bowl at the stovetop. Beard looks up as Ted enters, stopping just beyond the threshold, and their eyes lock. Beard nods, but Ted doesn't try to interpret it. He can't take the chance that he'll get the wrong meaning out of this one. It's too important. You went out, Ted mutters, instead of attempting any of the other terrifying options. Beard nods again. Yeah. But now you're back, like the Terminator, Ted says brightly, grinning but not quite able to meet Beard's eye. Thought you might have had class, or... Trying to cheer his way through this one is hurting too much. Ted releases a long, slow breath, putting his hands in his pockets. Beard, I gotta be honest, I'm freaking out a little bit. Or a lot. Last night was... Ted finally finds the courage to look at Beard, who himself is looking down at the bowl of batter, not mixing it, his hand on the whisk. It was special for me, Ted confesses, blushing but determined not to stammer. Beard's head comes up, his eyes on Ted, wide and attentive. Ted adds hastily, "And you said you're into casual, and I respect that, Beard. I do. I know I'm a lot, and I get if you need some time and space to think. Or if something more serious ain't what you signed up for, then that's... it's okay. I don't want to push you for something more than..." "Ted," Beard interrupts, shifting his cap. He smiles and says gently, "I'm pretty aware casual is not an option here. If I didn't want something serious with you, last night would have been a really bad idea." At these words, Ted's jaw drops. "But you said," he said faintly, "that time at Costco." Beard speaks slowly, methodically. "In our first conversation, you spent about 15 minutes ranking rom-com movies." He gives Ted a look, like he's examining something fascinating. "There are plenty of words to describe you, Ted. Funny, smart, kind, talkative. Now, Beard's look can only be called fond. But casual? Not one of them." Ted is speechless. Beard hands Ted a cup of coffee and gestures to the table. "I just went to get stuff to bake muffins." Accordingly, Ted looks down at the items Beard spread out on the kitchen table. General ingredients for muffins, alongside blueberries and nutmeg. Heart pounding in his chest, Ted swallows thickly, unable to speak. "After we eat, do you want to skip class and go see Major League 2? Beard asks. "Came out Friday. Since it's a sequel, it'll probably be an Oscar contender." Ted puts the coffee down, turns Beard toward him by the shoulders, and kisses him. Beard opens his mouth, deepening the kiss immediately. It's pretty damn special. "Is there a late showing?" Ted responds when they pull apart breathlessly. Probably. Beard answers confusedly. Ted nods. "Good. I'm all for watching a movie, and that no doubt masterpiece specifically. But if we're gonna skip class, I think I'll need you to tutor me some more first. Feels like I barely scratched the surface last night." Beard stares in what looks a bit like awe. Then he grins, and his hands settle firmly on Ted's hips. "Really working for that, eh?" Ted grins back. "You bet." Beard's eyes on him turn caring, perceptive. "We're good?" he asks. "Wavelength," Ted confirms, kissing Beard again. "It's a nice one. Safe, but thrilling." "Just one problem," Ted adds, and Beard's eyebrows raise in question. "I'm positive we don't have muffin tins." Beard laughs hard enough that his cap falls off as his head tips back with the strength of it. Ted moves to chase the shape of Beard's laughter with his mouth. Calm settles over him, and he grounds himself even further by putting his hands on Beard's shoulders and opening up to what Beard has to offer. The kiss says everything he's thinking and feeling. And the details, they'll keep. The End.